This week's study is awesome. I hope that you've spent some time in the Word this week, reading about what the Bible has to say about time. Of course, over the last number of weeks, we've been doing a lot of different spiritual disciplines in a believer's life, and we've talked a lot about different areas that we all need work on and help with, and and today we're going to talk about time. Remember this guy? I love this guy, Jim Croce. Remember him? He was a great singer, folk singer, back when I was a kid. He had this song that he sang called "Time in a Bottle." Do you remember this? Okay, now don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for you again. All right, I got over that on Christmas Eve. I'm not going to do that anymore. But I love that song because it said, if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away just to spend it with you. You know, that is a beautiful, beautiful song. But if I could give you the rest of that message, this would be it, okay? You can't, right? I mean, you can't save time in a bottle. It's not a commodity that we can save and use at our own discretion. Because you know what? When this moment is gone, it's gone. It's gone. You know what history is? Right there. That. Right there. It's gone. As soon as a moment passes, it's gone, and you can never ever get it back. I love the key idea this morning that we're going to talk about, and that's this: I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. Let's say that together. I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. I think the greatest example of this in the Bible is Jesus' death on a cross. Okay? Now think about that for a moment. We've all, you know, read that and thought about that, and we've seen, you know, different artworks depicting this event. You know, we've talked about how at Christmas time Jesus stepped into the manger, but it was really his first step toward the cross. That Jesus was going to die on that cross, and he's going to shed his blood there. But have you ever thought about the message of the cross in relation to this? I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. Because when you think about what Jesus did on the cross, it's amazing. I mean, right? You think about I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, God, if there's another way, if this cup can pass from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus hung on the cross and he died for you and for me, and he went through this excruciating pain and death so that we would know forgiveness. But he did it why? He did it to fulfill the will of his Father. I mean, think about that. When you see Jesus hanging on the cross, there's no better example of anyone fulfilling the purpose of God, the purpose for which they are on this earth. When Jesus died on that cross, it was a beautiful example of someone giving themselves to the purposes of God. I think, therefore, that when Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he mentions this crucifixion of Jesus, dying to ourselves, it takes on that much more meaning. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Think about that. I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. When you see what Jesus did on the cross, it's a beautiful example of someone giving themselves up totally and completely without reservation to the purposes of God. So can we say this? I mean, can we have that same kind of devotion, that same kind of focus in our life? I mean, when Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. When you read that passage of Scripture, it's all wrapped up in someone giving themselves totally and completely without reservation to God. But think about it. As you read this passage of Scripture, it's all about time. Did you ever hear the story about the little boy that was sitting waiting on his dad to come home from work? And the dad, after a long day at work, he finally came home. It was quite late. And the little boy said, Dad, could I ask you something? And the father said, Sure, son, what's up? And the little boy asked his dad, said, Dad, how much do you make an hour? The father thought that's kind of a strange question from a little kid, but he wanted to help the kid understand. So he said, "Well, sweetheart, actually, I make $25 an hour." And the little boy thought for a minute, and he said, "Dad, could I borrow $10?" And the father, was kind of exasperated at this point, and he sent him to his room and said, son, go to your room. You shouldn't be asking me that. And after the kid went to his room, the father thought more about it, and he thought, I was a little hard on the little guy. So he went up, and he said, son, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, snap at you. I had a hard day at work. What do you need $10 for? Yes, I can loan you $10. Little boy's like, oh, that's great. So the father gave him $10, and he said, okay, Dad. He said, now I can do it. He said, could I buy an hour of your time? He said, I only had 15, but now I've got 25. Will you give me an hour? Of course, that father, as we would be, he was just devastated at this. But let me tell you something, folks. When it talks about when we talk about living a life of purpose, living a life that pleases God, it's all about time. Let me ask you this way: what do you have in common with Bill Gates? Bill Gates, right? Founder of Microsoft computers. A billionaire many times over. It's like, okay, I don't have that in common with him, right? You know what you have in common with Bill Gates? You have in common with Bill Gates, we all have this in common. We all get the same amount of time. We get 7 days, 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. Bill Gates doesn't get one more minute than you get. Now, maybe he has a bigger bank account. Maybe he has a bigger house, all this kind of stuff. But he has the same amount of time as you and me. There's no discrimination when it comes to time. But it's all about what we do with it. Let me give you an example. I think one of the greatest inventions ever are these things that most of us have in our home now, these DVRs, these digital video recorder. Is this not awesome? Is this not the greatest thing since they started baking and slicing bread? You know why? Because you don't have to watch commercials, right? Matter of fact, if you just wait like 10 or 15 minutes after your show starts, if you're recording it on the DVR, you can watch it, and then you can fast forward through the commercials, and it only takes you 47 minutes to watch a one-hour program. We're so time conscious today. I mean, it's all about time. I remember when I was in Africa, we were at this church, and I saw Kevin. Kevin will actually remember this. It was when we were at the church out at Village 8, and we were sitting there, and I was like, we said, well, when does church start? And the guy said, well, when everybody gets here. Okay, well, when does church end? When we're done, right? I mean, I remember picking somebody up and giving them a ride. But they said, oh, you know what? You don't need to give them a ride because all they've got to do today is to walk where they're going and then come home. We are so into multitasking and doing all kinds of different things. But in other cultures, it's simpler okay? They're more relaxed and low-key. It's because they don't have so much on their plates. We start when everybody gets here. We end when we're finished. I mean, can you imagine if we did that here? You know, can we imagine if we did that here? We're pretty time conscious here at First Church. And I mean, when the clock strikes ready to start, it starts. And you know, we're pretty close at the end. You know, some days we're better than others. But we're so time conscious today. But here's the thing. Everybody has the same amount. It's just what you do with it. I love this key verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I'm sure you've already read it this week. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I mean, look a little closer at some of these words here. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, do it all. You see, folks, it's all about us giving ourselves totally and completely in life to things that really matter. Are you? Are you giving yourself to things that really matter? You know, that's a question that we all have to ask of ourselves, and we have to answer it very, very truthfully. Am I giving myself to things that really matter in life? You know, one of the things I want to encourage you to do today is to keep a log of your time. You know, I heard somebody say many, many years ago, I think it's a great idea. It said if you really want to set a budget, a financial budget for yourself or for your family, so you need to understand and know where every penny goes. And they encouraged you to actually keep track of every penny you spend, even if you buy a pack of gum, to write it down. And you know, I bought this and it was gum. And they said after a couple of months, if you keep up with every penny that you spend, you can really get a handle to know where your money's going and where you're wasting money or something else. And I think the same is true with time. So actually, Randy Frazee does this in his book too, and I thought it was great. He said, keep a time log. And don't just write down in your time log, I worked 8 hours, but actually keep up with what you do during those 8 hours at work. And after you keep this time log for a period of a week or a couple of weeks or even a month, sit down with what you've discovered and ask yourself some questions. The first one is to ask yourself to just reflect. I want to take time to reflect upon what is on this sheet and what I'm spending my time doing. Reflect and look and see, you know, what's taking up most of your time. And what's taking up a very little amount of your time. I remember when I was in college, when Arlene and I were dating, I had this time where we were really talking on the phone. I don't know, are you like me? I think back now, and you know, Arlene and I were dating. I could talk on the phone for hours, or I could listen to Arlene on the phone for hours, right? And now it's like, you know, what do you need? And I need to go, right? I mean, what changes? I could spend hours, and now it's like I don't have that. You know, reflect on what you're doing and why you're doing it, and what takes over the most amount of your time, and why there's other things that you neglect. Just reflect on what you see there. The second thing is to make adjustments. What do I need to adjust? What do I need to change about what is here? I mean, you look and you see, you know, I'm spending this much time doing this much time doing this, you know, and you realize that your life is out of balance, out of kilter, and you can see and you can make the adjustments that you need to make. You need to ask yourself the question, what do I need to stop? Because you're going to look and you keep this time log and you're going to realize, oh my goodness, I'm on the computer so many hours every day, or I watch TV so many hours every day, or I'm out doing this with my friends so many hours a week, and there's something that I need to stop. We just need to ask ourselves and to reflect and to make these adjustments and figure out what we need to stop. You need to figure out what you need to start. I mean, there's things that you need to stop doing. There's probably other things that you don't see on that list that you need to start doing. I mean, ask yourself, am I using my spiritual gifts in the with my time? I mean, am I spending time doing the things that I'm gifted to do? Or if you discover what your spiritual gifts are and you look at your time log and you realize, you know what, I'm actually not doing the things that I'm gifted to do. And you can realize some things that you need to change because of that. Because everybody has the same amount of time. So keep a log. I remember some years ago, and actually one of my kids actually said something to me recently about this. They said, "Dad, do you remember how on Tuesday morning you used to take us to McDonald's and eat breakfast?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And when my kids were little, every Tuesday I would take one of them, and we would go to McDonald's before school, and we would get a something for breakfast, and we would sit there and we would talk. And here's what would happen. Here's the difference in our kids too. I would take Sarah to breakfast at McDonald's, and I would just listen to her just talk and talk and talk and talk. And then the next week it'd be Kristen's turn, and I would take her to McDonald's, and I would just drag one sentence or a word or a paragraph out of Kristen. That was the difference in our kids. Like Kristen or Sarah would just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And Kristen was like, you know, just drag it out of her. But they actually said to me later on, they said, "Do you remember that?" And they don't remember one thing that was said, but they do remember me taking the time to do that. And let me tell you something, folks. You will not get to the end of your life and wish that you would have spent more time working, or more time accumulating things, or more time earning money. But we will all get to the end of our life, and there will be some regrets that we have for what we've spent our time doing. And most of the time, those regrets are around things that we should have done, quality time we should have spent with our children or with our family, or with something else, or in service to God. So keep a time log and reflect and adjust and ask, what should I stop and what should I start? And am I using my spiritual gifts in the time that I'm giving to God? You know, I think when you study the Bible, you can come upon some verses that really speak to you. One that really spoke to me about time is the prayer of David. You know, have you ever done this? You can actually study the Old Testament. You can go through, you know, Psalms and different places, and you can read things that David said or did, or what he taught or what he thought. And the big thing about David, when you read the words of David, was that he was brutally honest. He was brutally honest about the way he felt about life and about his own life and about God and about God's involvement in his life and about his involvement in God and with God and what God wanted to do with him and through him. And he was so honest with his words of what he wanted to do and what he wished he had done and why he didn't do and the things that he gave his life for. And he would just pour out his thoughts to you about these subjects. And one of them that I think that is amazing comes from Psalm 39. It starts like this. He prays and says, "Show me, Lord." Isn't that an awesome phrase? I mean, have you ever prayed that? I mean, it's God, just show me, God. God, reveal to me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, help me understand who I am and who I should be. Help me understand, God, where I am and where I need to go. Help me to know, God, where I've been and why I don't need to go back there. David was so brutally honest as he prayed to God, and he just said, God, show me. Now, before I reveal this scripture to you, I want you to realize something, because I've heard this said before. You know, have you ever heard it said that, you know what, you really don't want to know the future, because if you knew the future, it would be too frightening for you, right? For example, if you could know the day that you were going to die, would you want to know it? I mean, if it could be revealed to you the exact day and the exact moment that your life was going to be over on this earth, would you want to know? Most people would say, absolutely not. You know, I don't want to know. You know, I don't want to know. Maybe it's today, right? I mean, if you knew, you know, and didn't you ever hear the old story about the guy that went to the doctor and he had some tests run and he came back and he followed up with his tests and the doctor said, I've got some good news and bad news. The bad news is, you know, is that, I said, let me get that out of there, is this right? Good news and bad news. The good news is that you're going to die. The bad news is I was supposed to call you yesterday or something. I forget. That didn't work. Anyway. Right? Do you want to know? Right? The point is that you don't. Or most people say they don't. I wouldn't want to know. I wouldn't want to know when my life was going to be over. Look at this passage of scripture. This is so awesome. David said, show me, Lord. He said, show me. There it is. Show me my life's end. And the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everything is but a breath, even those who seem, or everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Isn't that an amazing thing that David, in his honesty, in his prayer before God, he said, God, show me my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. You know how big a handbreadth is? Handbreadth is like right there. It's like 4 inches. Okay? It's a unit of measurement. And life is so short. And David says, God, I would want to know the end of my days. The number of my days. Isn't that amazing? Why was David able to pray this before God? I think it's simply because he understood and he realized how precious life was. Somebody asked the old preacher Charles Spurgeon one time, said, what would you do if you know that you are going to die tomorrow morning? And he said, I would do the same thing as I'm going to do anyway. I would ride tonight over to some other small town, and I would speak to the people there, and I'd preach the word of the Lord. And he said, then I would get back on my horse, and I would go home. And I would spend the evening with my family, and then I would say my prayers, and I would go to bed. And then I would wake up tomorrow in eternity. And you know what, folks? If you knew that tomorrow was your day, and you say, you know what, I wouldn't change one thing, that's awesome. I think that's the kind of thing that David's saying here, and what enabled him to say this. Show me, Lord. Let me see my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting life is, because I know what a beautiful gift life is. And time is from you. But here's the point, folks. It's all about what you spend your time doing. You see, most people that would kind of freak out if they knew that tomorrow morning was the end of their life, and they'd freak out, and it's like, oh my goodness, here's some things I got to do, right? I mean, think about it. People say, you know what? I'm making a bucket list. I just found out that I got this terrible disease. I'm not going to be very long. Here's the 10 things that I want to do before I die. You know, in reality, well, shouldn't we just look at life as such a gift and know that every day, everything that we're able to do and experience is something that should be on our bucket list? So whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray as David prays. Lord, let me see the days of my life. And let me understand that life is fleeting. And that I should love and appreciate and enjoy every moment of every day that you give me. I'll never forget a conversation that I had with Phyllis Clapper. You remember her? I loved Phyllis. Phyllis was such a neat lady. Phyllis was 95 years old when she passed away. And I remember having a conversation, that she was having with someone else, and they were talking about age and how old they were, and she was like, you know, yeah, I'm 95. And she said, time has gone by so quickly. Isn't that amazing? 95? Said time, you know, life is so short. Really, at 95? I think the reason that she said that and the reason that she meant it was that she understood what a beautiful thing it was. And she appreciated the day before. She appreciated that day. And if she got another day, she was going to love and appreciate it. You see, it's all about a mindset and knowing that we all get the same. We all get 7 days. We all get 24 hours a day. We all get 168 hours a week. No matter how much money we have or how famous we are, there is no discrimination when it comes to time. But boy, people handle it a whole lot differently, don't they? I don't know about you, but however much time God gives me, I want to spend it seeking Him and loving Him and loving and serving other people. But you know what? We can't do that unless we do as Paul said to the Colossians, that whatever we do, whether it's in word or deed, that we do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. May that be the way that we live every day. And then when our time is over, there's no regrets because we've spent it doing and being a part of the purpose for which God has brought us here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, time is such a beautiful thing. And it's such a wonderful blessing and experience, Lord, when we use it for your purpose. And so, God, I pray that you would be with us all as we sing this wonderful song about being a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that we'll use every moment of every day to be that blessing to each other, certainly, Lord, to you, and to a world, Lord, that needs to know you. And God, may we know that the most precious thing that we can do with any moment of time is just to bow before you, Lord, and declare our allegiance to you. So I pray, Father, that everyone in this room has done that and has experienced that wonderful, wonderful moment when we know we're forgiven and that your Holy Spirit, Lord, empowers us to spend whatever time we have seeking and serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.